Amen. Let's turn tonight to Psalm 64 in our Bible. Great. We're going to cover four psalms tonight. We normally don't do that. Tonight we're going to talk about our awesome God. Did you know that God is awesome? There's not any, listen, you know, if we focus on this lousy world and the problems in this world and the things that are happening, the coronavirus and the riots and the destruction and all the things that are occurring, you know, we're not called to focus on that. We're called to pray about that. Amen. And to keep our hearts in tune with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, this Psalm 64, it starts out to the chief musician, a psalm of David, and he starts out in verse 1, and I love Psalm 64. He says, "Oh, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation." And look what he says, his prayer. "Preserve me, keep me, guard my life from fear of the enemy." Did you catch what he just prayed? He, take note, you're talking about a man of faith. David did not pray, "Oh God, save me, preserve my life, guard my life from my enemy." He didn't say that at all. King Saul was David's enemy, amen? The devil is our enemy. Listen, David prayed, "Lord, guard my life from fear. I do not want to be a fraidy cat." Huh? Do you understand? I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to fear man. I don't want to fear anyone but you. Amen? What a prayer. I mean, you know, he says, listen, that's what I want. You know, the Bible teaches us that fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out all fear. Amen? Remember when Paul telling Timothy, the young pastor that was taking his place in there at the church, he said, "Oh, Timothy," in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen? Listen, fear will torment you. Fear can paralyze you. Fear kept the children of Israel out of the promised land, didn't it? Amen. Kept them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So you know what we have to do? We have to cast down the voice of the enemy. And we have an enemy. Boy, and he is really speaking loudly today. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Amen. Not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't want to listen to the father of lies. There's not absolutely no truth in him. You know what you need to do about the devil when he starts lying to you, or when the demon spirits, whatever you want to call them, the powers of darkness? Loved one, listen to me. You remember in what, I don't know, Acts, what was it? It doesn't matter, 27 or 28. Remember when the shipwreck occurred when Paul was on the way to Rome and they ended up in Malta? Okay, and what did Paul do? It was cold. It was just freezing, and they built a fire, and Paul was bringing the wood, and they started a fire. And what was in that fire? A serpent came out and latched on to Paul. You know, remember? And of course, the Maltese, the people that were there, thought, "Oh, Paul, you're going to drop dead. You must be a horrible murderer or something for that serpent to come up and latch onto you and bite you like that." And you know what Paul did? He shook that serpent off into the fire. And you know what you need to do? You need to start shaking him off into the fire, because that's where he belongs. That is his future. Amen. You don't let him put a bite in you and hold on to you. You have to know God's word, and you have to apply God's word to your life. Listen, the fear of God, that's the only thing we need to be afraid of right now. Oh no, forever. The fear of God cancels all other fear. If you fear him, you have nothing else to fear. Amen. Oh, not at all. And look what he says in verse 2. He, in his prayer, he says, "Oh God, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity." In other words, those explorers of evil who work for the devil, man. He says, "Who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows and to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear." It is a terrible thing when people shoot lying words of slander toward you. Amen? It's like an ambush. And that's what they were doing with David, these enemies. They were like ambushing him. And look at that, what he said at the very end. He says, "Oh, they shoot him, but you know what? They don't even fear." And you know why they don't fear? Look at the next verse. David writes, "Oh, these people, whoever they are, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. Look what they do. They talk of laying snares secretly, and look why they do those things. They say, who will see them? You know, that's exactly what's happening in our nation tonight. That's what's been happening all year. Amen? In other words, all the secret plots, all the things that are happening, the evil that is running rampant, and this bunch here, whoever they are, you know, the fact is they think that they can commit the perfect crime and that they can get away with it, never be detected, and never be discovered. Boy, that's a bad place to be in, isn't it? Thinking that you can get away with everything. They forget about God. God knows, God sees, amen? He writes, oh, they devise iniquities, and we have perfected a shrewd scheme. That's what they're saying. And look what David says. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep, or literally they are fathomless. See, the wicked, what a cunning heart that they have. And there is one who sees and searches the heart, every heart. Amen? He knows all about us tonight. He loves us, thank God for that. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful, or literally is to treacherous, above all things, and desperately wicked. One translation says, incurably sick. And who can know it? And the Bible says, I, the Lord. Look, listen to what God does. He searches the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So people can plot. Listen, God knows every scheme on earth right this minute. Think about that. Why would we worry about it if God knows every scheme, every plot, every evil thing that's about to happen in every person in the entire world? Why should we worry? Why, we should pray, but we should not worry. Worry's not going to help us. Amen? Oh, no. He says, but God, I love this, but God, they want to shoot David, but God says, but David says, but God will shoot them with an arrow. I love that. Suddenly, it says, they'll be wounded. And so he will make them stumble over their own tongue, meaning all of their lies. And all who see them shall flee away, or literally, the Amplified Version said, all will shake their heads at them and walk away. Get away from me, they'll be saying. Listen, this bunch, they're going to reap what they've sown. Amen? They want to shoot David with words, God's going to shoot them. In other words, you cannot get away. Whatever you reap, you're going to sow. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. And the words of their own mouth, they're cutting their own throats with their own words. And look at verse 9 now. It says, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing, or that is his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now listen, it says, the righteous, that's us. Of course, they're talking about Israel there, but we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. It says, shall be glad. Are you glad tonight? Let me ask you a question. Have you gotten to a point where you're tired of everything trying to take away your joy? You know what I mean? That, you know, it's like this epidemic, or I mean pandemic, it goes on and on and on. It's like guilt. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. You know what I mean? And you're wanting just one day of normalcy. One day. But nothing is normal right now. The world never has been normal, okay? The world is actually, it's abnormal. It's living in a false reality. And, you know, heaven is the true reality, amen? So when we think about this tonight, when it says, are you glad tonight? There's only one way that we can be glad in the Lord. And look what it says. Be glad in the Lord, and you have to do something. Trust in him. If you will do that, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter what you're going through, if you will get into God's word, get into your prayer closet every day, and you know, people say, well, Bill, you know, I can't pray an hour a day. Who told you to pray an hour a day? It's not about the quantity, it's the quality of your prayer time. I mean, you might have a 15-minute prayer time. That's good enough, as long as it's quality. Whenever Peter was looking there at the, in the storm, the winds and the waves, and he started sinking as he was walking on the Lord, water, he prayed the shortest, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. What did he pray? Lord, that was it. And the Lord saved him. It's the quality, not the quantity, how long you pray. It is that you do pray, loved one. So he says in Psalm 65, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. It says in verse 1, praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. When it says praise is awaiting you, it means praise hasn't, in this instance, hasn't arrived yet. So you could really read it this way. It says, to you belongs silence, which will burst into praise, but it's going to happen later on whenever this vow is performed to the Lord. David says here, iniquities prevail against me and our transgressions, but you will provide atonement for them. And we can say tonight that God has provided atonement. Amen. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. He was born. He died upon the tree, the cross. He was resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Our sins are not only forgiven, our sins are forgotten. They are as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead, meaning spiritually dead, in trespasses, deliberately disobeying God, deliberately not believing in Jesus Christ, deliberately mocking the Christians, not even knowing anything about God. It says he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Look at verse 4. This is a great scripture. It says, blessed. Now, you know what that word means in Hebrew. It means, oh, how happy. It means, oh, how fortunate. It means to be envied. Did you know the word happy is in the Bible? Huh? Yes, it's in there. Blessed is the man. Look at this now. Blessed is the man, David says, that you choose. And I can add to that and say, and unhappy is the man who does not choose Jesus. Amen? That's right. It says, and cause to approach you. Why? That he may dwell in your courts, dwell in your presence, and shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. It says, blessed is the man you chose. Do you ever just ponder and meditate on the fact that God chose you in him, meaning Christ, before the foundation of this world, before the world was ever created? Before the first fish swam in the ocean, before the sunset, sunrise, before anything, when there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there was no angels, nothing. God is eternal. He has always been. You are as old as God, and God is eternal. In other words, you have been in the heart and mind of God since he has all. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's forever. God chose you. You ever remember when you were in grade school or maybe junior high and they chose sides and you didn't get picked? You know, you're too heavy, you're too slow, your glasses are this thick, you can't, you know. No. God says, I chose you in my Son before time ever began. Jesus said, I chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you. I set you apart that you should go forth and bear much fruit. Man, we are chosen by God tonight. How can we not be shouting? Amen? Come on. This world is falling apart. We're not falling apart. If we're falling apart, it's because we're not applying what God says for us to do in his word. Now, he says there, blessed is the man that you chose and caused to approach you. You know, we can approach God. Why? Because Jesus' life became a ransom. He paid he for you and me. Praise the Lord for that. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, it says, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to God the Father. Listen, we can come to God our Father 24/7. Nothing prevents us because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Man, think about that. Not only that, listen, you don't let the devil lie to you. We have right now and will have forever continual access to God. The door will always be open. We have access to God without condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No, Jesus paid for our sin. Oh, listen, Bill, I'm in trouble. Run to the throne of grace. You will not find one charge against you there. It's called the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. Oh, listen, I think about what God has done. I think about blessed is the man you choose. I don't know. I get excited about that. In the midst of all this gloominess and all this sadness and all this corruption and all the things that are happening across our nation, I can say, oh, Lord, I'm blessed because you chose me. You wanted me. Man, you ever think like that, that God wants you? He wanted you so much. He sent his only begotten son to die for you. Amen? To die for me. It says, by awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their ways, the tumult of the peoples, or the nations, in other words. They also who dwell in the farthest parts, meaning of the earth, are afraid of your signs. Now look at this last part. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. In other words, it word literally means to shout for joy. Boy, that's just like the song just a moment ago. Man, how great thou art. Amen. Oh, and look at this. Look how God cares in verse 9. He says, you visit the earth. I want you to look at all the yous talking about God in these verses. You visit the earth, and look what he does. You water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain. For so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Now listen, you hear a lot about climate, environmental. You know what I'm saying? Pollution, all that. You can spend billions and billions and trillions and zillions of dollars and you can never do what God has done. Amen? Oh, listen, God, he's the one, like I said earlier, he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And only God truly, and it says richly, the earth. I tell you what I prayed today as I finished this message. I'll read it to you. This was my prayer. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, God, come. Would you visit Calvary Chapel? Would you water us, Lord? Would you fill us with the Holy Spirit again? Would you visit and refresh your church? Would you let us enter into the river of God that's never empty? Because, God, your visits leave behind your blessings. That's what we need right now. We need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed. Amen? Oh, listen, we need God to move in this church again. We need the people of God to get excited about Jesus Christ again. Oh, praise God. Listen, and look at this one, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. What kind of word is that? I love that, don't you? Listen, crown. I said, Lord, would you do that? You did this for David. David is praying that. Do this for Calvary Chapel. Crown 2021 with your goodness. The Bible says that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives, meaning goodness and mercy is in hot pursuit after us every day of our life. God's mercy, God's goodness. But I said, Lord, please, oh, Lord, crown crown. You know what the word crown literally means? Raised to the highest degree, raised to the highest level. Listen, I believe that God wants to move again in our nation. And I think God wants to start a movement right here. Listen, 2021, I said, Lord, now, this is a relaunch time, but make it a year of your goodness for us. Amen. We need to feel and experience the tangible goodness of God. You know, when people are good to you, you experience it. Amen. Okay. Well, what about God's goodness? Don't you think he wants you to experience his goodness? The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. Oh, listen. The goodness of God belongs to us. And not only that, I said, Lord, how about letting 2021 for Calvary Chapel, why not let your abundance just start dripping all over us? Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that God could and would do that? You see what I'm talking about? It's not about, Bill, why are we here tonight? Not just to hear a word, we're here to hear the truth. Amen. Listen, every day, every week, every month, every moment, oh God, surround this entire year, surround your sheep at Calvary Chapel with your goodness. It says, your paths drip with abundance. Listen, something happens when you start following the Lord. Now, I'm talking about not from a distance, you start following him. You deny yourself. You take up your cross daily and you follow him. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:13, he says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in there by it because narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there few be who find it. Listen, that narrow gate. You remember years ago, I think it was, 15 years ago. I don't really know how many, but many. So many that I can't remember, okay? If you remember what those funnels that you get, like, and they're real long for the cars, and you pour oil in them? But they have a real long, and then here's the mouth, and you pour it in. Remember? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you take that funnel, and you look in the broad end where you pour in the transmission fluid or the oil, it's broad. Man, you can pour anything into it. That's what Jesus was saying. Broad is the way. Any lifestyle, loved one, can go down the broad way. Do you understand? Any kind of philosophy, any kind of false religion, any kind of self-worship, oh, the broad way's open for them. Oh, but if you turn that funnel around, and where does it lead? It gets narrower and narrower and narrower. Listen, so these people, that the reason they won't go down the narrow way, that's the other end of that funnel, is they go, it's too restrictive. I can't follow the Lord. But what they don't know is as they go down the narrow part and they go keep going and keep following the Lord, does it get larger and larger and larger? Yes. And that's what God wants us to live and experience that life. And not only that, to experience it right now. He says, oh, they drop on the pastures of the wilderness and of the little hills. They rejoice on every side, and the pastures are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. And look what they do. They shout for joy, and they also sing. Now, I've never heard a hill sing, have you? No. But who are the singers? The pastures, the hills, and the valleys. So what is this telling us? Well, that nature has a voice that can articulate to God. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a shout and a song. Did you know, I believe that the earth is like a hymn to God. You know, if you go out into the forest or into a park and say you're all by yourself and you finally put your cell phone down and you take those, what are those things called you put in your ear? What are they? Earbuds? Bug? Earpods. You take those things out and what do you hear? Nature. You hear the leaves and the wind, and if you're by a, are you following me? See, that's a hymn unto God. And to God, they're shouting joy. They're shouting praise unto the Lord. You know, this takes us to verse 1. It says a vow that was going to be performed. When is this going to happen? When is that vow going to be fulfilled? I'll tell you when. When Jesus returns. When Jesus sets up his kingdom, Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song and a psalm. Now, we don't know if David penned this one or not. We don't even know the historical background, okay? But I love it. It says, make a joyful shout, and look at the object of our shouting, to God, all the earth. Now listen, all the earth. Can you imagine everyone on earth making a joyful shout right now? Come on, be with me tonight. Think about that. I mean, every person, every child, every old person, every middle-aged person like me. Do you understand? The whole earth making a joyful shout. What would that sound like? What is that going to sound like? Imagine everybody on earth, they have joyful lips. And I ask you a question. Have you lost your shout tonight? Have you lost your shout unto the Lord? It says, sing out the honor of his name, meaning God's name. Make his praise glorious. Now, this again, this is all the earth, not just a few people. Everyone on earth singing honor to the name. How do you honor God's name? But by calling, by all that that name implies. God is our righteousness. Amen. You see the names of God? God is our healer. God is our justifier. God is our provider. God is our shepherd. God is our Father who art in heaven. Amen. And they start honoring the Lord. And not only do they sing, not only do they shout. Look at this one. How about speaking? Verse 3. Say to God, how awesome, how wonderful, how dreadful, how holy, how righteous. I'm adding there to who what that word means. How awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit or cringe, literally, themselves to you. Now listen, everyone on earth, this is all the earth, not a few people again. Can you imagine all the earth, every person speaking to God and saying, how awesome are your works? Say that with me. How awesome are your works? God's works. He's working right now on our behalf. Matter of fact, he is working in you this very moment. Amen? Think about that. How awesome, unbelievable, you know, awe, what's that? Shock and awe, you know what I mean? How awesome are your works, O God? And you know what? This generation, they've kind of stolen that word and they've disgraced it. You know, hey, bro, you know, you're awesome, man. You know, never mind, never mind. How you doing? Awesome, man. No, no. Don't use that word. This word belongs to God. He's awesome. You're not awesome. Amen. I'm not awesome. But I tell you what, God is awesome. Psalm 47:2 says, for the Lord Most High is awesome. Yes, you are. He's a great king over all the earth. How awesome are the works of God. Man, listen, only God can take a piece of dirt in the ground and mold it and shape it, call his name Adam, and breathe life into it. Amen? Only God can divide the Red Sea or bring manna from heaven or water from the rock or make the walls of Jericho fall down. He's awesome. He's the one who answers your prayer, provides your needs, heals your body, brings your wife, your future wife or your future husband. You understand? Oh, listen, God, he is awesome. Why? Because God reigns and God rules. And let me tell you that tonight with the mischief and the evil that's happening in our world and in this country, I tell you the devil, they're cringing. The devil and his fallen angels, they are cringing because they know that their time is short. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen to me. You know what I'd love for God to do tonight? God, slap a mask on the devil. Amen. Whatever kind of mask that might be, and let you know what I'm saying? Let him wear it for a while. No, I don't know why I said that, but I liked it. Verse 4. Now, here it comes again. Not just a few people, but all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, worship you. Now listen, there is a day that's coming, and everyone on this planet, they're going to fall on their face, they're going to kneel on their knees, they're going to bow down, and they're going to, all the entire earth, they're going to sing praises to God. All the earth is going to be in unity. All the earth is going to finally be in agreement. And when will that happen? When will all the earth worship and sing praises to God? Let me tell you when. Like it says in Zechariah 14:4, in that day, when Jesus returns from heaven to this earth, his feet, where are they going to sit down upon? The Mount of Olives. That's when all of this is going to happen. When is it going to happen? In Zechariah 14:5, when it says, and the Lord will come and all the saints with you. That's us, folks. We're going to come back with him. And how about this one? And what's going to be the result? Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord, say that with me, and the Lord, not Democrats, not Republicans, not the Antichrist, not any nation on earth. No, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Oh, loved one, we're going to be there. We're going to see that. We're going to, do you understand? The government is finally going to be upon his shoulders, and every person on earth will recognize him as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords and will worship him. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. Why? He is awesome. Yes, you are, Lord. You're so awesome. He is awesome in his doing. And look at the object of his doings. It says toward the sons of man. That's us, loved one. All of the earth. Oh, he turned the sea into dry land. That's the Red Sea. They went through the, pardon me, the river on foot. That would be the Jordan, remember? And there they will rejoice in him. And look at this. He rules by his power for how long? Forever and ever and ever. His eyes observe the nation or keeps watch over the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. In other words, he's that Selah, pause right there at me and think about what that word of God just said. Listen to me now. It may look like everything is falling apart. It may look like evil is winning. It may even look like the powers of darkness are ruling tonight. But that's not true. God rules. God is in control. God is reigning right now. Do you understand? The devil may do this or do that. You know what? Okay, God turns it around for good. Do you understand? To those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that is. Yes. Oh, listen, it says here in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. You know what's wrong? I think this pandemic has caused the church to lose its song. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's singing the COVID blues, you know? Are the conspiracy blues. I think the majority of the church no longer listens to good music. They're listening to country music. Make the world go away. Remember that one? Get it off my, what? Only four of you knew that song? Eddie Arnold, what's, are you sinners? No, we don't need to sing the country blues. Yeah. Do you understand? I cried. I don't want to listen. If I even go to a country station, I start crying. No, I don't want that. I want to sing songs to the Lord. Listen, why? Because it says, look at this. We don't have to sing it. How do you get your song back? You ready? Somebody steal your song? Look, verse 8. Oh, bless our God. Who? You peoples. And make the voice of his praise to be heard. In other words, give thanks unto him. Be grateful. Who keeps, look now, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. All the earth, the psalmist calls upon all peoples in the earth, you bless the Lord. Lord, we bless you. Amen. Why? Because you are awesome. And you rule tonight. He holds our lives, our soul in his hands, and he keeps us. The world and those who love the world, they're falling apart, but we're not falling apart. We are the church. Amen. Even on a Wednesday night, that looks like we're in Seattle. Do you understand? Oh, no, we're his body on earth. And you know what? We need to sing and shout to him, oh, God, how awesome are your works. How awesome are your works toward us who love you. Amen. The Bible tells us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And you say, "Well, Bill, man, we've been going through a time of testing. Isn't that great? God is awesome even in our testing." Look at it in verse 10. "For you, O God, you've tested us." Now, he's talking about the nation of Israel right there, of course. He says, "For God, you've tested us. You've refined us as silver is refined." Listen, no one, no Christian, no follower of Jesus Christ is immune from trial or tribulation in this life, okay? I don't care what you hear on TV, Christian TV. I don't care about those, "Hey, if you'll send in this much money, you'll never have a problem again." No, you know, that's why I have those rubber bricks at my house, so I can throw them at the TV set. And I'm a good shot. No. You're going to have trials and tribulations, and people are going to hate you. Jesus said that. You're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. Amen? It's okay. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Oh, no, listen. You can say, "Well, if I pray more," we should pray more, but that's not going to keep you out of trials. You know, we said, "Well, if I need to study the Bible more," well, we all need to do that, but that still won't keep you out of trials because we're not immune. Spurgeon said this, "All the saints must go to the proving house. God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without a trial." Oh, that is a good word. Amen. Listen, 1 Peter 1:6, "In this you greatly rejoice." That word means to jump up and down for joy. What am I going to do, jump up and down for joy for? "Well, though now for a little while, that you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire," though it's tested by fire, "may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Listen, man, talking about smoke and, I'm starting to feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, we've been in a fiery furnace since March 13th last year. Amen? Smell the smoke? I'm tired of it, aren't you? But I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus on the Lord. And look at the benefit of when we are tested in verse 11. The psalmist says, "Oh, you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs." Watch this now. "You've caused men to ride on our heads. We went through fire. We went through water." I love this one. Watch the results now. "But you brought us out to rich fulfillment." That word literally means to overflowing abundance or overflowing abundant provision. Listen, are you going through the fire? Get ready for a rich, abundant provision. Amen? See, because when we're tested, we're going to come forth like gold. We're going to shine, folks. God's just removing the dross from our life. Don't worry about it. We're all going to go through it. He says, "I will go into your house," in verse 13, "with burnt offerings, and I'll pay my vows which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices, a fat of animals with a sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah." Aren't you glad we don't do that? That's old covenant, right? In other words, that was giving God our best, the best of our offerings. Well, now there's only one offering that God wants, and you know what it is? You. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," Romans 12:1, "that ye present yourselves as a living sacrifice unto God." Amen? That's what God wants. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living, "Live for me." And that's when you really find life. He says, "Oh, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare my mouth. He is extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Look at verse 18 again. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Do you know why so many believers, they lose their joy, they lose their shout, they lose where that's when they speak to God, "You are awesome"? It's because they're in trouble, because they're in sin. And they know they're in sin, but they won't repent of that sin. And so, you know what happens? It says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities," God says, "they've separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden God's face from you so that he does not hear." Sometimes husbands and wives, they come in, for example, for counseling and marriage counseling and so forth. And they're going, you know what? God's just, there's something wrong. God doesn't hear us anymore. Our prayers, they don't get as high as the ceiling and everything is falling apart. It's like God is out of our marriage or whatever it might be. And I always give them this scripture, 1 Peter 3:7, husband, dwell with your wives with understanding. In other words, you better understand their emotional makeup. Giving honor to the wife, that means to treat your wife like treasure, and wife, it means to treat your husband like treasure. It says, and being heirs together, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen? Being heirs together of the grace of this life. In other words, if you don't honor one another, you don't treat one another right, you know what God just says he's going to do to you? He loves you. He wants you to stay married, all those things. But he says, if you don't honor each other, you don't treat each other the way that's my daughter. Treat her right. That's my son. Treat him. You follow me. God says, here it is. Your prayers will be hindered. The word hindered means cut off. The word means God says, I'm not answering them. I love you, but I'm disciplining you because you're beating each other to death. You follow what I mean? See, there's so many things that God says, I love you, but I'm not going to hear your prayers. Oh, I know you're praying. I know exactly what you want, but I'm not going to answer them. No, he says, but certainly God has heard me. He's attended to the voice of my prayer. Oh, blessed be God who has not turned away. My prayers are his mercy from us. Man, what a word tonight. Let me close by reading the last psalm here, the Psalm 67. This song of, I'm not for sure, it's of David. But it says, and I just want to make this our prayer tonight, if you don't mind. And he says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. That's a good word. All of us, Lord, be merciful tonight and bless us. And I look at this one. And cause his face to shine upon us. That means, Lord, exhibit all of your divine favor and all of your divine approval toward us. That your way may be known on earth, that your salvation among all nations, and let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad, and let the nations sing for joy, for you shall judge your people righteously, and you will govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That day is yet future. But that day, loved one, is coming. When Jesus reigns and he is the Lord God, the King of Kings over the whole earth. That millennial reign when he restores his kingdom. Do you know what's going to happen? Listen to what's going to happen. In the millennial reign, in that future day, when all the ends of the earth shall fear him, but meaning everything on earth. It says, in that day the wolf will dwell with the lamb. That's going to be special. It says the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Oh, the cow and the bear will graze, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat only straw like the ox. And listen to this. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's pit. And no one will hurt them. No one will destroy them. In my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Praise God. That day's coming. We're going to experience it. We're going to live it. Listen, don't be discouraged tonight. I know that when we get tired, and I'm very tired tonight, you can probably look at me and say, this guy, he's bad, you know? I mean, but you know what? Don't wear yourself out, because if you do, you can get discouraged, amen? You know, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Live. Because our God, he is awesome. Lord, we praise you. We give you honor tonight. I ask, Lord, for perfect safety for all the families, every person here as they drive home. Lord, let your abundance, let your goodness, let us get in the river of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.